From the association of ideas, if I were to say sky, you would probably say blue. If I said smoke, you would say fire. And if I said apple, many of you might say William Tell, so widely known is the legend of Switzerland's famed hero. This afternoon, in our series of great plays, we bring you the drama of William Tell, written by the great 18th century German dramatist Friedrich Schiller. Most everyone knows the incident of the apple shot from his son's head. But the story of William Tell is only an episode in the struggle of the Swiss forest cantons against the tyranny of their Habsburg governors in the 14th century. And underneath Schiller's lofty blank verse can be heard the cry of oppressed minorities, the search for liberty, the passionate zeal for freedom, and an interesting parallel with the events of our own day. Our first scene is the rocky shore of Lake Lucerne in the Swiss Alps, where a fisherman, a hunter, and a shepherd are gathered talking.
I must make haste and get this boat on shore. The storm will burst before we know what's what.
Will rain ere long. My ships browse eagerly.
The fish are leaping and the water hen keeps diving up and down. A storm is brewing.
I must make sure my beasts are all in sight.
You've a fine chime of bells there, Master Herdsman.
And likely cattle, too. Are they your own?
I'm not so rich. They are the noble lords of Attinghouse and told off to my care.
Are you for home?
The Alp is gray, is quite fair.
A safe return, my friend.
The same to you, huntsman. Men come not always back from tracks like yours.
Who comes here, running at topmost speed?
I know that man. Tis Baumgart of Alsallen.
Stop, gentlemen. Your boat.
Oh, no. Why all this haste?
Cast off. My life's at stake. Get me across the lake.
Why, what's the matter, friend?
Who are pursuing you?
It is the Viceroy's men are after me. If they should overtake me, I am lost.
Why are the troopers in pursuit of you?
Why, there's blood upon your garments. How is that?
The Imperial Seneschal, who dwelt at Rossberg.
You mean the Wolfshot? Is it he pursues you?
He'll never hurt man again.
No, Lord.
I've settled him.
Give you.
What is this you've done?
What every free man in my place had done. Mine own good household right I have enforced. Against him that would have wronged my wife. My honor.
Well, what?
That he did not fulfill his foul desire. His due to God and to my trust the act.
And you did well. No man can blame the deed.
The tyrant. Now he has his just reward. We men of Unterwald have owed too long. Quick, ferryman, and set the good man over.
Impossible. A storm is close at hand.
Wait till it passes. I cannot wait. The least delay is death.
We should help our neighbors, ferryman. The like misfortune may betide us all.
The south wind's up. See how the lake is rising. I cannot steer against both wind and wave.
His life's at stake. Have pity on him, man.
He is a father, has a wife and children.
Yes.
What? And have I not then a life to lose, a wife and child at home as well as he? See how the breakers foam and toss and whirl. Right gladly would I save this worthy man, but 'tis impossible, as you must see.
Then I must fall into the tyrant's hands, and with the shore of safety close in sight.
Look, who comes here?
It is Tell. Aye, Tell of Burglar.
What man is he that here implores for aid?
He is from Alsallen, and to guard his honor from touch of foulest shame, has slain the Wolfshot.
What?
And Gessler's troopers are upon his heels. He begs the ferryman to take him over, but frightened at the storm, he says he won't.
Well, there is Tell can steer as well as I. He'll be my judge, if it be possible. Am I to plunge into the jaws of hell? I should be mad to dare the desperate act.
The brave man thinks upon himself the last. The lake may pity, but the viceroy never. Come, risk it,
yes,
man.
Save him.
Moments precious. The man must be helped. Say, boatman, will you venture?
Oh, no, not I.
In God's name, then, give me the boat. I will, with my poor strength, see what is to be done.
Gallant Tell!
That's like a huntsman true.
Herdsman, do you console my wife if I should come to grief? I could not choose but do as I have done. Come, Baumgart.
Pretty man to keep a fairy, truly. What Tell could risk, you dared not venture on.
Far better men would never cope with Tell. There's no two such as he among all our hills.
Now they're off. Look how the little boat reels on the waves.
There. They've swept clean over it. And now, it is out of sight. Yet stay. There it is again. Stoutly he stems the breakers, noble fellow.
And here come the troopers, hard as they can ride.
Why, that was help indeed.
Give up the murderer. You have him here.
This way he came. It's useless to conceal him.
Is it he in yonder boat you seek? Right on. If you lay to, you may o'ertake him yet.
Curse on you, he's escaped.
You helped him off, and you shall pay for it. Yes. Fall on the herd. What? Down with the clones.
Righteous hand. When will come deliverance to this doomed, devoted land?
Is the common of Altdorf, Baumgarten.
Yes.
Now you have no further need of me.
You are my angel, my preserver, Tell.
Hark. What means the drum?
Why, here's a mumming.
Heat. And look.
The camp.
What can they mean by that?
In the Emperor's name, give ear. Ye men of Uris, ye do see this cap? It will be set upon a lofty pole. In Altdorf here, in the marketplace. And this is the Lord Governor's goodwill and pleasure. The cap shall have like honor as himself. All do it reverence with bended knee and head uncovered. Thus the king will know who are his true and loyal subjects here. His life and goods are forfeit to the crown and shall refuse obedience to the order.
A strange delight indeed to fall upon. Do reverence to a cap, a pretty fire.
Down to a cap on bended knee, forsooth. Rare jesting this with men of sober sense.
Nay, and it were the imperial crown. A cap, merely the cap of Austria. I've seen it hanging above the throne in Gessler's hall.
No freeborn man will stoop to such disgrace. Come, to our comrades, and advise with them.
You see how matters stand here as well.
Shall we bear what is not to be borne, Tell?
Impetuous rulers have the shortest reign. Let every man live quietly at home. Peace to the peaceful rarely is denied.
And it is thus you view our grievances?
Let them alone. They'll weary of themselves when they shall see that we are not to be roused.
Much might be done. Did we stand fast together?
When the ship founders, he will best escape who seeks no other's safety but his own.
So, then your country cannot count on you? If in despair she rise against her foes?
Tell rescues the lost sheep from the yawning gulfs. Is he then a man to desert his friends? Yet, whate'er you do, spare me from counsel. I was not born to ponder and select. But when your course of action is resolved, then call on Tell. You shall not find him fail. Farewell, my friend.
Whither away? Leave me not so soon.
They look for me at home. So fare you well.
There is unrest throughout the land. In the neighboring canton of Schwyz, the good citizen Werner Stauffacher sits in the garden before his house, deep in thought.
So sad, my love.
Huh? Oh, Gertrude.
I scarcely know thee now, a moody silence furrowing thy brow. I am thy faithful wife, and I demand my half of all thy cares. Tell me, what can oppress thy spirits thus? Thy toil is blessed?
Yes, the world goes well with me.
There stands thy house. No nobleman's more fair. Its many glistening windows tell of comfort.
The house is strongly built and handsomely. But the ground on which we built it quakes.
Ah, that is the grief that weighs thee down. The viceroy hates thee. Fain would injure thee. For thou hast crossed his wish to bend the Swiss in homage to his upstart house of princes. Say, is that so, Werner? Tell me, am I wrong?
It is even so, for this doth Gessler hate me. Long has he sworn to compass my destruction.
As yet thou art uninjured. Wilt thou wait till he may safely give his malice vent? A wise man would anticipate the blow.
What's to be done?
Now, hear what I advise. thou knowest well how here with us in Schweiz, all worthy men are groaning underneath this Gessler's grasping, grinding tyranny. Doubt not the men of Unterwald as well, and Uri too are chafing like ourselves, this oppressive and heart-wearying yoke. Then it were well that some of you, true men, men sound at heart, should secretly devise how best to shake this hateful thraldom off.
Wife, hast thou weighed well what thou urgest thus? Discord will come, and the fierce clang of arms, to scare this valley's long and broken peace, if we, a feeble shepherd race, shall dare him to the fight that lords it o'er the world.
You too are men, can wield a battle axe as well as they. God ne'er deserts the brave.
But wife, a horrid, ruthless fiend is war, that smites at once the shepherd and his flock. This house, thy pride, war, unrelenting war, will burn it down.
And did I think this heart enslaved and fettered to the things of earth, with my own hand I'd hurl the kindling torch?
No, well may he fight for hearth and home, that clasps a heart so rare as thine against his own. What are a host of Gesslers to him? Gertrude, farewell. I will to your estate. There lives my worthy comrade, Walter Firth. His thoughts and mine upon these times are one.
Welcome, thrice welcome, Stauffacher, to my roof.
Ah, my friend.
What brings you here? What seeks you in Uri?
The olden time, the olden Switzerland. Friend Walter Firth, I will be plain with you. No idle curiosity it is that brings me here, but heavy care.
And who shall tell us when they are to end? Such things as now we suffer ne'er were known since herdsmen first drove cattle to the hill.
Who is this youth?
Arnold of Melchthal, hiding here with me, fugitive from oppression, and his father, Henry of Haldane.
Now, what of him? Proceed.
A victim sure to make the heart run blood.
Oh.
A viceroy to punish some offense committed by Melchthal here required he should produce his son upon the spot. And when the old man protested, and with truth, that he knew nothing of the fugitive, this Gessler called his torturer.
Hush, no more.
And though thy son, he cried, escape me now, I have thee fast, and thou shalt feel my vengeance. And with that he plunged my father to the ground and plunged the pointed steel into his eye.
Oh, merciful heaven.
Why do you look so piteously at me? I have two eyes, yet to my poor blind father can give neither. Tell me no more of patience, of concealment. My thoughts be vengeance and the despot's blood.
The measure's full. And are we then to wait till some extremity?
What extremity remains for us to dread then, when our eyes no longer in their sockets are secure? Are we helpless? Wherefore did we learn to bend the crossbow, wield the battle axe?
What living creature but in its despair finds for itself a weapon of defense?
If the three cantons thought as we three do, something might be done with good effect.
When Uri calls, when Unterwald replies, Schwyz will be mindful of our ancient league. Do thou resolve. I am prepared to follow.
First, let us learn what steps the noble lord of Attinghaus would take. He loves the people, honors the old customs. His name would rally thousands to the cause.
Is there a name within the forest mountains that carries more respect than yours? And yours. Hear my opinion. On the lake's left bank, deep hidden in the wood, a meadow lies, by shepherds called the Rootley, because the wood has been uprooted there.
It is where our canton boundaries verge on yours.
Yes. My boat will carry me across from Schwyz.
Thither, by lonely bypaths, let us wend at midnight, and deliberate o'er our plans. Let each bring with him there 10 trusty men, all one at heart with us. And then we may, with God's good guidance, fix what next to do.
So let it be. And now your hand, friend first.
Aye.
Yours too, young man.
Yes.
And as we now, three men, among ourselves, thus knit our hands together, shall we three cantons too together stand, in victory and defeat, in life and death.
Here in the Rootley, we are all one heart,
one blood, one race.
We are one people, and will act as one.
This soil is ours. And shall an alien lord insult us by our own hearthfires? Attempt to forge the chains of bondage for our hands? Is there no help against such wrong as this?
And swear the oath of our confederacy. A band of brothers, true we swear to be, never to part in danger or in death.
Never to part in danger or in death.
We swear we will be free, as were our sires, and sooner die than live in slavery.
We swear we will be free, as were our sires, and sooner die than live in slavery.
So the peasants and citizens banded themselves together in their fight for freedom. And even the nobles resent the foreign intruder. Old Baron Nottinghausen, beloved of his people, is one.
Well, nephew, belted and plumed and all thy bravery on. Are out for Alto, for the castle, boy?
Yes, uncle. Longer may I not delay.
Why, in such haste? Are thy youthful hours doled in such niggard measure that thou must be chary of them to thy aged uncle?
I see my presence is not needed here. I am but as a stranger in this house.
Aye, pity it is, thou art. Alas, that home to thee has grown so strange. Oh, Uli, Uli, I scarce do know thee now, thus decked in silks, the peacock's feather flaunting in thy cap. Abandoning thy friends, thou takest thy stand beside thy country's foes, and thou alone, not all unmoved amid the general grief.
The land is sore oppressed, I know it, uncle. But why? Who plunged it into this distress? One word, one little easy word, might buy instant deliverance from all our ills and win the goodwill of the viceroy.
Must I hear this? And from thy lips, Rashford?
You urge me to this answer. Hear me out. What, uncle, is the character you've stooped to fill contentedly through life? Have you no higher pride than in these lonely wilds to be chieftain of a shepherd race?
Oh, holy, holy. All too well I see the tempter's voice that caught thy willing ear and poured its subtle poison in thy heart.
It doth offend my inmost soul to hear the stranger's jibes that taunt us with the name of peasant nobles. The martial trumpet's spirit-stirring blast, the herald's call inviting us to the lists, rouse not the echoes of these vales, where naught save cowherd's horn and cattle bell is heard in one unvarying dull monotony.
Deluded boy, seduced by empty show, despise the land that gave thee birth, ashamed of the good ancient customs of thy sires. I am the last of all my race. My name ends with me. And must I think, when yielding up my breath, that thou must wait the closing of mine eyes to stoop thy knee to this new feudal court?
But, uncle, it is wise and wholesome prudence in times like these, when factions all abroad do vow attachment to some mighty chief, and to secure the favor of these great hereditary masters were to sow seeds for a future harvest.
Art so wise. Sail down the lake to Lucerne. There inquire how Austria thraldom weighs the cantons down. Soon she will come to count our sheep, our cattle, to portion out the Alps into the peaks and drain our dearest blood to feed her walls. No, if our blood must flow, let it be shed in our own cause. We purchase liberty more cheaply far than bondage.
But what can we, a shepherd race, against great Albert's host?
Learn, foolish boy, to know this shepherd race. I know them. I have led them on in fight. To be the chieftain of a freeborn race, be that thy pride. Be that thy noblest boast. Oh, come. 'Tis long since we have seen thee, Uli. Go not to Altdorf. Wilt thou not today?
I gave my word. I'm sorry. I am bound.
Bound, didst thou say? Oh, yes, unhappy boy. Thou art indeed. But not by word or oath. 'Tis by the silken mesh of love thou art bound. Aye, hide thee as thou wilt. Tis she, I know. Bertha of Brunnich draws thee to the court. Tis she that changed thee to the emperor's service. Thou thinkst to win the noble knightly maid by thy apostasy. Be not deceived. She is held out before thee as a lure, but never meant for innocence like thine.
No more, I've had enough. So fare you well.
Stay, Ulysses, stay! Rash boy, he's gone. I cannot hold him back, nor save him from destruction. This Bertha will encompass that completely.
At last, dear Bertha, we are quite alone in this wild dell with rocks on every side. Here, let my heart throw off its weary silence.
But are you sure they will not follow us?
See, yonder goes the chase. Now, then, or never, I must avail me of this precious chance, though it should part me from thy side forever. Oh, do not arm thy gentle face of thine with looks so stern and harsh. Who am I that dare aspire so high as unto thee? Nothing have I to offer, but a heart that overflows with truth and love for thee.
And dare you speak of love, of truth? You that are faithless to your nearest ties?
What?
You that are Austria's slave, bought and sold to her, an alien in your country's tyrant.
What, this reproach from thee? Whom do I seek on Austria's side, my own beloved, but thee?
Think you to find me in the traitor's ranks? Now, as I live, I'd rather give my hand to Gessler's self, all despot though he be, than to the Switzer who forgets his birth and stoops to be a tyrant servile too.
Oh, heaven, what words are these?
Say, what can lie nearer a good man's heart than friends and kindred? My very soul bleeds for your countrymen. They are so gentle, yet so full of power. They draw my whole heart to them. Every day I look upon them with increased esteem. But you desert them and abet their foes in forging shackles for your native land. Why, you incense and wound me to the core. It drives me to the utmost not to hate you.
Bertha, you hate me. You despise me.
Nay. And if I did, it were better for my peace. But to see him despised and despicable, the man whom one might love.
Oh, Bertha, with thy love, what might I not become?
Be only that for which your own high nature destined you. Fill the position you were born to fill. Stand by your people and your native land and battle for your sacred rights.
Alas, how can I win you? How can you be mine if I take arms against the emperor? Will not your potent kinsman interpose to dictate the disposal of your hand?
All my estates lie in the forest cantons, and I am free when Switzerland is free.
Oh.
Hope not to win my hand by Austria's grace. Fain would they lay their hand on my estates to swell the vast domains which now they hold. The self-same lust of conquest that would rob you of your liberty endangers mine. Love. Love alone, your love, can rescue me.
Oh, Bertha. All the yearnings of my soul for the great world and its tumultuous strife, what were they but a yearning after thee? But if in this calm vale thou canst abide with me and bid earth's pomps and pride adieu, then is the goal of my ambition won.
Now art thou all my fancy dreamed of thee. For this it was, Ulrich, that caused my grief to see thee blast this life's supremest bliss with thine own hands.
Yet, how to free myself? To loose the coils which I have madly twined around my head.
Tear them asunder with a man's resolve. Whate'er ensue, firm by thy people stand. It is thy post by birth.
But what of William Tell, who was not at the meeting in the Rookley?
My string is snapped. Oh, Father Mended, please.
Not I. The Tell-born archer helps himself.
The boys begin to use the bow baton.
His early practice only makes the master.
Oh, would to heaven they never learned the art.
But they shall learn it, wife, in all its points. Whoever would carve an independent way through life must learn to ward or plant a blow.
Alas, and they will never rest contentedly at home.
No more can I. I was not framed by nature for a shepherd. My restless spirit ever yearns for change. I only feel the flush and joy of life if I can start fresh quarry every day.
Heedless the while of all your wife's alarms as she sits watching through long hours at home. For my soul sinks with terror at the tales the servants tell about the risks you run. Whene'er we part, my trembling heart forebodes that you will ne'er come back to me again.
The man that bears a quick and steady eye and trusts in God and his own lusty thews passes with scarce a scar through every danger. The mountain cannot awe the mountain child.
Whither away?
To Altdorf, your father, Walter Fürst.
You have some dangerous enterprise in view. Confess.
Why think you so?
Some schemes on foot against the governors. There was a diet held in the Rutli, that I know. And you are one of the Confederacy, I'm sure.
I was not there. Yet will I not hold back whenever my country calls me to her aid.
Wherever danger is, will you be placed. On you as ever will the burden fall.
Each man will have the post that fits his powers.
You took, amidst the thickest of the storm, the man of Unterwald across the lake. 'Tis marvel you escaped. Had you no thought of wife and children then?
Dear wife, I had, and therefore saved the father for his children.
Yes. You've a kind and helping hand for all. But be in straits, and who will lend you aid?
God grant I ne'er may stand in need of it.
Why take your crossbow with you? Leave it here.
I want my right hand when I want my bow.
Where, father? Are you going?
The granddad, boy, to Altdorf. Will you go?
Aye, that I will.
But the viceroy's there just now. Go not to Altdorf.
He leaves today.
Then let him first be gone. Cross not his path. Why, you know he bears us grudge.
His ill will cannot greatly injure me. I do what's right and care for no man's hate.
Tis those who do what's right whom most he hates.
Because he cannot reach them. Me, I ween, his knightship will be glad to leave in peace.
Aye. Are you sure of that?
Not long ago, as I was hunting through the wild ravines of Schekenthal, untrod by mortal foot, there, as I took my solitary way along the shelving ledge of rocks, where it was impossible to step on either side, there, face to face, I met the viceroy.
What?
He alone with me, and I myself alone. Near man to man, and near us the abyss. And when his lordship had perused my face and knew the man he had severely fined on some most trivial ground not long before, yeah, and saw me with my sturdy bow in hand come striding toward him, his cheek grew pale. His knees refused their office, and I thought he would have sunk against the mountainside. Then, touched with pity for him, I advanced respectfully and said, "'Tis I, my lord." But ne'er a sound could he compel his lips to frame an answer. Only with his hand he beckoned me in silence to proceed. So I passed on and sent his train to seek him.
He trembled then before you? Oh, woe the while you saw his weakness. That he'll ne'er forgive.
Well, I shun him, therefore, and he'll not seek me.
But stay away today. Go hunt instead.
Dear wife, I gave my promise I would go.
Very well. Then go. But leave the boys with me.
No, mother dear, I go with father, I.
Oh, Walter, will you leave your mother then?
I'll bring you pretty things from Grandpapa.
Come, son.
Walter, my son, farewell. Father, is true that on the mountain there the trees, if wounded with a hatchet, bleed?
Who says so, boy?
The master herdsman, father. He tells us there's a charm upon the trees. And if a man shall injure them, the hand that struck the blow will grow out from the grave.
There is a charm about them, that's true. Just see those glaciers yonder, those white horns that seem to melt away into the sky.
They are the peaks that thunder so at night and send the avalanches down upon us.
They are. And Altdorf, long ago, had been submerged beneath these avalanches' weight. Did not the forest there above the town stand like a bulwark to arrest their fall?
And are there countries with no mountains, father?
Yes, if we travel downward from our heights, we reach a wide and level country, where our mountain torrents brawl and foam no more, and fair large rivers glide serenely on. All quarters of the heaven may there be scanned without impediment. The corn grows there in broad and lovely fields, and all the land is like a garden fair to look upon.
But, father, tell me, wherefore haste we not away to this delightful land? Instead of toiling here and struggling as we do.
The land is fair and bountiful as heaven, but they who till it never may enjoy the fruits of what they sow.
Live they not free as you do on the land their fathers left them?
The fields are all the bishops or the kings.
But they may freely hunt among the woods.
And the games, all the monarchs, bird and beast.
But they at least may surely fish the stream.
Stream, lake, and sea all to the king belong.
Who is this king of whom they're so afraid?
He's the man who fosters and protects them.
Have they not courage to protect themselves?
The neighbor there dare not his neighbor trust.
I should want breathing room in such a land. I'd rather dwell beneath the avalanches.
'Tis better, child, to have these glacier peaks behind one's back than evil-minded men. But come, let's hasten. Yonder is the common of Altdorf.
Yeah, we keep our watch here in vain. Not a soul will pass and do obeisance to the cap. Why, yesterday this common was a fair, but now the green looks like a desert quite, since yonder scarecrow hung upon the pole.
All honest citizens would sooner make a weary circuit over half the town than bend their backs before our master's cap.
They were obliged to pass this way at noon, as they were coming from the council house. I counted then upon a catch indeed, for none would think of bowing to the cap. But coming just then from someone sick, the priest, standing before the pole, lifts up the host. The sacrist, too, must tinkle with his bell. And down they dropped on me, myself and all.
It is a burning shame. A trooper should stand sentinel before an empty cap. I never heard an order so absurd.
Why not, and please you, to an empty cap? You've ducked, I'm sure, to many an empty head.
And you are a time-serving sneak that takes delight in bringing honest folks to harm. For my part, he that likes may pass the cap. I'll shut my eyes and take no note of him.
There hangs the viceroy. Your obeisance, children.
I would to God he'd go and leave us, Captain. The country would be none the worse for it.
Out of the way, confounded pack of gossips. Who sent for you? Go send your husbands here. They have courage to defy the order.
See, Father. See the cap on yonder pole?
What's the cap to us? Come, let's be gone.
Stand! I command you in the Emperor's name.
What would you? Wherefore you to stop me thus?
You broke the mandate, and with us must go.
You've not done obeisance to the cap.
What? Let me go.
Away, away to prison.
Father, to prison? Help! Good people, help! They're dragging him to prison.
What's your amiss? Why do you seize this man?
He's an enemy of the king, a traitor.
A traitor, I?
Art wrong to sell an honest man and my son-in-law.
Grandfather, help! They want to seize my father.
Away to prison! For God's sake, tell, what is the matter? He has not made obeisance to the cap.
And shall for this to prison?
Come, my friend, take my security and let him go.
Keep your security for yourself. You'll need it. We only do our duty. Hence with him.
Citizens, shall we stand by and see him dragged away before our very eyes?
Who dares to resist the governor's command?
Only try from our midst to force him if you dare.
A riot! Insurrection! Riot!
Will you hold your tongue?
And Gessler here, then we shall stop
for this. For the viceroy!
Drive the towns apart! Why throng the people thus? Who calls for help? Who was it, I will know?
I, sire.
And who art thou? And why hast thou this man in custody?
Red, sir, I am a soldier of your guard and stationed sentinel beside the cap. This man I apprehended in the act of passing it without obeisance due. So, as you ordered, I arrested him.
And do you tell so lightly, hold your king, and me who act as his vice-regent here, that you refuse obeisance to the cap I hung aloft to test your loyalty?
The action sprang, my lord, from inadvertence, not from disrespect. Were I discreet, I were not William Tell.
I hear tell you're a master with a bow. From every rival, bear the palm away.
That's very true, sir. At 100 yards, he'll shoot an apple for you off the tree.
Is that boy thine tell?
Yes, my gracious lord.
Hast any more of them?
2 boys, my lord.
And of the two, which dost thou love the most?
Sir, both the boys are dear to me alike.
Then tell, since at 100 yards thou canst bring down the apple from the tree, thou shalt approve thy skill before me. Take thy bow, thou hast it there at hand. Make ready then to shoot an apple from the stripling's head. But take this counsel. Look well to thine aim. See that thou hitst the apple at the first. For shouldst thou miss, thy head shall pay the forfeit.
What monstrous thing, my lord, is this you ask? What, from the head of mine own child? No, no. God in his grace forbid. You could not ask a father seriously to do that thing.
Thou art to shoot an apple from his head. I do desire to command it so. And thou must shoot, or with thee dies the boy.
Shall I become the murderer of my child? You have no children, sir. You do not know the tender throbbings of a father's heart.
How now, tell? of a sudden to this creek, another man might pause and hesitate. Thou shouldst dash at it, heart and soul, at once.
Oh, do not jest, my lord, with these poor souls. See how they tremble and how pale they look. So little used are they to hear thee jest.
Who tells thee that I jest, Lady Bertha? Here is the apple. Room there, I say. And let him take his distance, just 80 paces as the custom is. Not an inch, more or less. It was his boast that at 100 he could hit his man. Now after to your task. And look, you miss not.
What? I level a crossbow at the head of mine own child? I tell thee no. And no.
Quick. Why this delay? No cause has he to say his doom is harsh, who's made the master of his destiny.
This cannot be, my lord. You mean not that.
My lord, we bow to your authority. But oh, let justice yield to mercy here. We take it all, but spare us.
Grandfather, do not kneel to that bad man. Say, where am I to stand? I do not fear. My father strikes the bird upon the wing, and will not miss now when 'twould harm his boy.
Oh, no, Walter.
Open like the son of Tell. Bind him to yonder lamp tree.
No, I will not be bound. I will be still. Still as a lamb, not even draw my breath. I'll wait it firmly, nor so much as wink. Quick, father, show them what thy bow can do. He doubts thy skill. He thinks to ruin us. Shoot then and hit so but to spite the tyrant.
Come, boy. 1, 2, 3, 4.
What is this outrage to be perpetrated before our very eyes? Where is our oath?
Resist, we cannot. Weapons we have none. See the wood that of lances around us. See.
Oh, would to heaven that we'd struck at once. God pardon those who counseled the delay.
There. Now to your task, William Tell. To carry deadly tools is dangerous. None should be armed but those who bear command. It pleases you to carry bow and bolt. Well, be it so. I will prescribe the mark.
A lane there. Room. Room!
What, Tell? You would? No, no. You shake. Your hand unsteady. Your knees tremble.
There's something swims before mine eyes. Ah. Oh. Release me from this shot. Here is my breast. Summon your troopers. Let them strike me down.
It's not thy life I want. I want the shot.
Shoot, father, shoot. Fear not.
It must be.
My lord, you will not urge this matter further. You will not. It was surely but a test. You've gained your object.
Peace till your counsels ask for rudence.
I will speak, for you o'erstep your powers in handling thus my harmless countrymen.
Thou growest bold, methinks.
I have been dumb to all the oppressions I was doomed to see.
No, Rick, you but exasperate his rage.
Audacious boy, this language to thy lord.
I beckon to your troopers. Here I stand, but not like these unarmed. I have a sword, and he that stirs one step...
The apple's down!
How has he got? The madman!
We must. The boy's alive!
If I knew you would not harm your boy.
Walter, my son, Walter.
Oh, ye kind heaven.
God be praised.
Almighty powers, that was a shot indeed. It will be talked of at the end of time. Here is the target, apple sire.
By heaven, the apple's cleft right through the core. It was a master shot, I must allow. A word, Tell.
Sir.
Thou didst place a second arrow in thy belt.
Oh, my lord, I...
Nay, I saw it well. Thy purpose with it speak. Frankly and cheerfully confess the truth. Whate'er it be, I promise thee thy life. Wherefore the second arrow?
Well, my lord, since you have promised not to take my life, I will without reserve declare the truth. If that my hand had struck my darling child... The second arrow I had aimed at you. And be assured, I should not then have missed.
Well, Tell, I promised thou shouldst have thy life. I gave my knightly word, and I will keep it. Yet as I know the malice of thy thoughts, I'll have thee carried hence, and safely penned where neither sun nor moon shall reach thine eyes. Thus from thy arrows shall I be secured. Seize on him, guards, and bind him.
How, my lord? How can you treat in such a way a man on whom God's hand has plainly been revealed?
Well, let us see if it will save him twice. Remove him to my ship. I'll follow straight. At Kisnath, I will see him safely lost.
You dare not to...
No.
Silence! You are all rebels against the imperial power and bear a desperate and rebellious spirit.
I know you all. I see you through and through. Him do I single from among you now. But in his guilt, you all participate. If you are wise, be silent and obey.
All's over now. He is resolved to bring destruction on myself and all my house.
Hell, why did you provoke the tyrant's rage?
Let him be calm who feels the pangs I felt.
Alas, our every hope is gone. With you, we all are fettered and chained.
I'm sorry for you, Tell, but must obey.
Farewell.
Oh, Father, Father, Father dear.
Thy father is on high. Appeal to him.
Have you no message, Tell, to send your wife?
The boy's uninjured. God will succor me. Farewell.
Father, Father.
Come, come. Oh, sir, our noble lord of Attinghouse is dying. Come.
Then the last anchor of our hopes gives way. He was the only man who dared to raise his voice in favor of the people's right.
Come quickly, sir. Come.
All now is over with him. He is gone.
He lies not like one dead. The feather sea moves on his lips. His sleep is very calm, and on his features plays a placid smile.
Hush. Hush, he starts.
Where is he?
Who?
He leaves me. In my last moments, he abandons me.
You mean his nephew? Have they sent for him?
He has been summoned. Surely, sir, take comfort. He has found his path at last, and is our own.
Say, has he spoken for his native land?
Aye, like a hero.
Wherefore comes he not, that he may take my blessing ere I die? I feel my life fast ebbing to a close.
Nay, talk not thus, dear sir. This last short sleep has much refreshed you, and your eye is bright.
Life is but pain, and that has left me now. My suffering, like my hopes, have passed away. Oh, wretched fate, that these old eyes should see my country's ruin as they close in death.
My noble lord, raise up your drooping spirit. We are not forsaken quite past all deliverance.
Who shall deliver you?
Ourselves. Oh, no, the cantons three are to each other pledged to hunt the tyrant from the land. A league has been concluded, and a sacred oath confirms our union.
The league concluded? Is it really so?
On one day shall the cantons rise together. All is prepared to strike. And to this hour the secret closely kept, though 100 share it.
And are the nobles party to this league?
We trust to their assistance should we need it. As yet, the peasantry alone have sworn.
And have the peasantry dared such a deed on their own charge, without the nobles' aid, relied so much on their own proper strength? Nay, then indeed, they want our help no more. We may go down to death, cheered by the thought that after us, the majesty of man will live and be maintained by other hands.
See, see what splendor streams around his eyes. This is not nature's last expiring flame. It is the beam of renovated life.
I see the princes and the haughty peers, clad all in steel, come striding on to crush your harmless shepherd race with mailed hand. Hold fast together, then, forever fast. Let freedom's haunt be one in heart and mind. Set watches on your mountain tops, that league may answer league when it comes the hour to strike. Be one. Be one. Be one.
He's dead.
Lift me. Oh, say, can he still hear my voice?
You are our senior and protector now. Henceforth, this castle bears another name.
Oh, God, is my repentance then too late? Could he not live some few brief moments more to see the change that has come over my heart?
When dying, he was told what you had done. and blessed the valor that inspired your words.
Oh, lifeless corpse. Here on my death-cold hand do I abjure all foreign ties forever, and to my country's cause devote myself. I am a Switzer, and will act as one with my whole heart and soul. It is not alone his lands that I inherit. His heart, his spirit have devolved on me. And my young arm shall execute the task which in his hoary age he could not pay.
The arm, my lord, that tames the stubborn earth and makes its bosom blossom with increase can also shield its owner's breast at need.
Then you shall shield my breast and I will yours. Thus each be strengthened by the other's strength. What? You're silent. Not a word for me? And have I yet no title to your trust? You've held a diet in the Rutli. I know this. Know all that was transacted there. And though not trusted with your secret, I have kept it closely like a sacred pledge. Yet you did wrong to put your rising off. Time presses. We must strike, and swiftly too. Already Tell is lost through your delay.
We swore that we should wait till Christmas time.
I was not there. I did not take the oath. If you delay, I will not.
Come, lead us on. We follow. Why defer until tomorrow what today may do? For change of circumstance brings change of vow. Who such a coward as to waver still?
All doff to arms first, and wait in readiness. The fiery signal on the mountaintops. For swifter than a boat can scour the lake shall you have tidings of our victory. And when you see the welcome flames ascend, then like lightning swoop upon the foe and lay the despots and their creatures low.
Prisoner, Antacus Nothborn, the best man in the land, the bravest arm had we, for liberty to strike a blow.
'Tis hailing hard. Come, let us to the hut. This is no weather to be out in, father.
Hark! They're ringing on the mountain yonder. They surely see some vessel in distress and toll the bell that we may pray for it.
See, father, a man's on his knees.
Yes.
Who can it be? He clutches at the earth with both his hands.
Who is it? God in heaven!
William Tell.
What? Tell! How came you hither? Speak, Tell.
Were you not in Gessler's ship, a prisoner, and in chains?
Were they not carrying you to Kustoff, Tell?
I am released.
Released? Oh, miracle.
Whence came you here?
From yonder vessel.
What?
Where is the viceroy?
Drifting on the waves.
Is possible. But you, how are you here? How escaped you from the fetters and the storm?
By God's most gracious providence. Attend.
Say on.
You know what passed at all.
I do. Say on.
How I was seized and bound and ordered by the governor to Kusnacht.
And how it flew well and he embarked with you. All this we know. Say, how have you escaped?
I lay on deck, fast bound with cords, disarmed in utter hopelessness. I did not think again to see the gladsome light of day nor the dear faces of my wife and boys.
Wretched man.
Then we put forth. My crossbow and quiver lay astern beside the helm. And just as we had reached the gorge, a hurricane swept down upon us with such headlong force that every oarsman's heart within him sank, and all on board looked for a watery grave. The viceroy then addressed me thus. If thou wilt undertake to bring us safely through the tempest, Tell, I might consent to free thee from thy bonds. I answered, yes, my lord. So help me God, I'll see what can be done. On this, they loosed the cords that bound me, and I took my place beside the helm and steered as best I could. Yet ever eyed my shooting gear askance and kept a watchful eye upon the shore to find some point where I might leap to land. And when I had descried a shelving crag that jutted smooth atop into the lake...
I know it. At the foot of a great axe. So steep it looks. I never could have dreamed that from a boat a man could leap to it.
I bade the men to row with all their force until we came before the shelving ledge. For there I knew the danger would be past. Stoutly they pulled, and soon we neared the point. Then, snatching up my weapons, with a bound I swung myself upon the flattened shelf, and with my feet thrust off with all my might. Thus am I here delivered from the might of the dread storm. And man's more dreadful still.
Tell, the Lord has manifestly wrought a miracle in thy behalf. I scarce can credit my own eyes. But tell me now, whither you purpose to betake yourself, for you will be in peril should perchance the viceroy escape this tempest with his life.
I heard him say as I lay bound on board at Brunnen, he proposed to disembark, and costing sweets, convey me to his castle.
Means he to go by land?
So he intends.
Oh, then conceal yourself without delay. Not twice will heaven release you from his grasp.
Which is the nearest way to Arth and Kishnacht?
The public road leads by the way of Steinen. But there's a nearer road and more retired that goes by Lovitz, which my boy can show you.
May heaven reward your kindness. Fare you well.
What have ye now in view? Come, tell me frankly.
When once 'tis done, 'twill be in every mouth. Through this ravine he needs must come. There is no other way to Kishnacht. Here I'll do it. The ground is everything I could desire. Yon elder bush will hide me from his view, and from that point my shaft is sure to hit. The straightness of the gorge forbids pursuit. Now, Gessler, balance thine account with heaven. When last I drew my bow with trembling hand and was forced to level at mine own boy's head, then in the anguish of my soul I vowed a fearful oath, which met God's ear alone, that when my bow next winged an arrow's flight, its aim should be thy heart. The vow I made amid the hellish torments of that moment I hold a sacred debt, and I will pay it. I'll sit me down upon this bench of stone, hewn for the way-worn traveler's brief repose, for here there is no home. Men hurry past each other with quick steps and careless look, nor state a question of their grief. Here comes the merchant, all anxiety. The pilgrim with scantily furnished purse, the pious monk, the scowling robber, and the jovial player, they all push onward, every man intent on his own several business. Mine is murder.
There goes the Cloister Bailiff's bridal train. He goes to fetch his bride from Immersay. At Kishnacht, there'll be high feast tonight. Come with us. Every honest man is asked.
The gloomy guest fits not a wedding feast.
Oh, if you have a trouble, dash it from your heart. Take what heaven sends. The times are heavy now, and we must snatch at pleasure as it flies. Here it is a bridal, there a burial.
And off the one, close on the other treads.
So fare you well. You're waiting someone here?
I am.
Godspeed you safely to your home. You are for Murray, are you not? His Grace the Governor's expected thence today.
Looked out to see the Governor today. The streams are flooded by the heavy rains, and all the bridges have been swept away.
Gessler not coming?
Aren't you out with him?
Alas, I do.
Why, then, thus place yourself where you obstruct this passage down his pass.
Here he cannot escape me. He must hear me.
Make way! Make way! My lord, the Governor is close behind me, riding down the pass.
At last.
The Viceroy comes!
How got he through the stream when all the bridges have been carried away?
We fought, my friend, with a tempest on the lake. An alpine torrent's nothing after that.
How were you out then in that dreadful storm?
We were. I'll not forget it while I live.
If honest men now had been in the ship, it had gone down with every soul on board. Some folk are proof against fire and water boats. Where has the huntsman gone with whom I spoke?
But surely, sir, the people have some rights.
This is no time to settle what they are. Say what you will, I am the Emperor's liege, and now to please him my first thought must be. He did not send me here to fawn and cringe and coax these boors into good humor. No obedience he must have. The struggle's this. Is king or peasant to be sovereign here? This petty nation is a stumbling block. One way or other, it must be put down.
Mercy, Lord Governor. Oh, pardon, pardon.
Why do you cross me on the public road? Send back, I say.
My husband lies in prison. My wretched orphans cry for bread. Have pity. Pity, my lord, upon our sore distress.
To the castle bring your suit. This is no place to deal with it.
No. No, I will not stir from where I stand until your grace gives me my husband back. 6 months already has he been shut up and awaits the sentence of a judge in vain.
How would you fault me, woman? Hence, be gone. Give way, or else my horse shall ride you down.
Well, let us. There. Here on the ground I lie, I and my children. Let the wretched orphans be trodden by thy horse into the dust. It will not be the worst that thou hast done.
Are you mad, woman?
Too mild a ruler am I to this people. Their tongues are all too bold, nor have they yet been tamed to due submission as they shall be. This braggart spirit of freedom I will crush. I will proclaim a new law through the land. I will...
Lord! Lord!
God have mercy on my soul.
This arrow, whence came it?
That shot was still, my lord.
Thou knowest the markman, I and I alone. Thou art our home set free, and innocence from thee is safe. Thou be our curse no more.
What is the matter? Tell me what is happening.
The lights away shot. Pierced by a crossbow bolt.
Who is been bleeding? He's bleeding fast to death.
Look, children, how a tyrant dies.
Mad hag, have you no touch of feeling that your eyes gloat on a sight so horrible as this? All curses light on you!
Gently, sir knight. Your power is at an end. Twere best forbear. Our country's foe has fallen. We will brook no further violence. We are free men.
See there! The beacons on the mountain heights! Hark how the bells above the forest toll! The enemy's routed! And the forts are stormed! There's not one pirate left in Switzerland!
Mine own dear boys, your father comes today. He lives, is free, and we and all are free. The country owes its liberty to him.
And I, too, mother, bore my part in it. I must be named with him. My father's chef ran my life close, but yet I never flinched.
Oh, yes, yes, thou art restored to me again. Twice have I seen thee given to my sad eyes. Twice suffered all a mother's pangs for thee. But this is past. I have you both, boys, both. And your dear father will be back today. But I hear voices. Come.
See, grandfather comes, and an exulting band. All the Confederates approach.
Grandfather, here once more.
Yes, here once more. Oh, Hedwig, mother of my children. God has been kind and helpful in our woes. No tyrant's hand shall e'er divide us more.
Oh, tell, what anguish have I borne for thee?
Forget it now and live for joy alone. I'm here again with you. This is my cot. I stand again upon mine own hearthstone.
But, father, where's your crossbow? Not with you.
Thou shalt not ever see it more, my boy. Within a holy shrine it has been placed, and in the chase shall ne'er be used again.
Long live brave William Tell! Our country free!
In this presentation of Great Plays, you have heard the story of William Tell. The cast was as follows. William Tell, Carl Benton Reed. Gessler, Stephen Schnabel. Lord Attinghaus, Elmer Lair. Ulrich von Druten, Winston O'Keefe. Werner Stoffacher, Richard Gordon. Gertrude, his wife, Ellen Meyer. Bertha, Frank Hale. Hedwig, Alice Yorman. Arnold of Melchthal, Wesley Addy. Tell's sons, Billy Redfield and Eddie Ryan, Jr. The orchestra was under the direction of Joseph Hunty, and the play was adapted for radio by Lester Vale. The Great Plays series is a public service feature of the National Broadcasting Company, a drama guide giving complete background material for the Great Plays by Blevins Davis, who arranged for the series, is available to our radio audience at a cost of 25 cents. Send coin or money orders to Columbia University Press, in care of Great Plays, Columbia University, New York City. Consult your local library for reading material on the remaining Great Plays of the series. Next week, at this same hour, Rue Blas will be presented. William Tell was a presentation of the National Broadcasting Company, RCA Building, Radio City, New York.